Philippians chapter 2. And Brother Kelly phoned me yesterday, said that he is having a good time with his family, and just praising God for allowing him to be able to get home. Philippians 2:15, we're going to quote the verse or the passage, which is Philippians 2:15. Then we'll say the verse, and then we'll say the reference at the end. So reference, verse, reference, Philippians 2 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Amen? All right, let's say that together. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. Philippians 2:15. Father, thank you once again for the verse of scripture that we were able to leave off with last class, and just pray that as we go into this brand new quarter, Lord, the second Sunday, that you might bless in the lesson material. Help us to understand that, Lord, we do have the power to be a witness. And Lord, we want to be effective in that which we do, that which we think, that which we say. Watch over those away from us. But Lord, instruct us now and help us to leave differently than when we came in, a little bit more Christ-like in the knowledge about the power that we have to witness. Then help us to be more effective in our witnessing about Jesus Christ to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. We are in lesson number 10 in your books. Lesson number 10. And we'll come back to Philippians 2:15 in just a minute. But in lesson 10, the subject matter is power to witness. Power to witness. In other words, you and I have the ability to share with others about Jesus Christ. By the way, how do I know I have the ability to share Jesus Christ with someone else? Ms. Duffy? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, by the way, when did I get the power of the Holy Ghost? When I got saved, amen. By the way, it is hard for me to share a dollar with someone if I don't have a dollar to give. Would somebody say amen?
Amen, Pastor, amen.
But if I have a dollar, I can share a dollar.
Yes, sir, we can.
What's the point, preacher? It's hard to share the Holy Spirit if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You can't be an effective witness if you don't have Jesus Christ in you to witness with in the first place. Amen. Because it is he who does the work through you. You're just a vessel. You're just a tool. Now, you can invite people to church all day long. You can point them to the scriptures and they can get saved, but you will not be confident if you don't have Jesus Christ. All right. G2, let me have $50. Let me have $50. He doesn't have $50. See my point? He doesn't have $50, so he can't give me $50. If I don't have Jesus Christ, I can't give you Jesus Christ. But if I have Jesus Christ, I can give you Jesus Christ. If I have $5, I can give you $5. I'm not, but I could. Amen. So he didn't say, well, let me have it. No. Just for illustration purposes only. Amen. So you and I have the power to witness if we are saved. And we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So let's get some review here. And in your introduction there, of course, the text is Acts 1, 2 through 8, amen. And the Roman numeral 1 is power to receive. So in other words, to be able to witness effectively, you have the power. The power you receive. By the way, I mentioned this. Power has several different definitions. The basis is dunamis, which means authority, but it also can mean ability or enablement. Enablement. So in other words, when Jesus said, but ye shall receive power, he meant that you're going to receive enablement or the ability to be a witness. All right. And so with that, he enables us with favor. That's A. He enables us with favor. In other words, we have acquaintances that we can share the gospel with. There are people that we know that we're in good favor with, that we can share Jesus Christ with them. He enables us with favor. Then we saw B, he enables us with boldness. He will give you and I the boldness to talk to people that may look frightening, or they may be in a position of authority above you, and you're a little intimidated because they can fire you, or they may be able to do something else to you. And so he enables us with boldness. Then C, he enables us with compassion. He gives us the heart that we need to share Jesus Christ with someone else. By the way, where do people go that don't have Jesus Christ? To hell. Is that a place that we want anybody to go? I know some people say, why don't you go to hell? No, you really don't want anyone to go there. You don't want anyone to go there. If you really understood what is there and what happens there, you wouldn't want anybody to go there, and you would be rushing to prevent them from going there, because hell is no place for you or I to go. So that is Roman numeral one. The power you receive enables us with favor, enables us with boldness, and then C, enables us with compassion. And then we left off on Roman number two, the plan God has set. The plan God has set. And who does God plan to use to be a witness?
Us.
Ta-da.
Here we go.
And by the way, could he use angels?
Yes. Yes, he can.
Yes. Could he use animals?
Yes.
Yes. Could he use a star? Yes. By the way, didn't he use a star when Jesus was born?
Oh, yeah.
What did the wise men look for?
The star.
So what was the star?
The
it was a witness. It was a guide. It guided them over until it lay where Christ's child was born, and they went right there. So it was a witness.
Yep.
So God could use whatever he wants to, but he plans to use you, and he plans to use us. Is there an age limit on who God can use to be a witness?
No.
Can I be too old or too young? No. So the youngest of children, by the way, children just have a way. They go up there. I can say, I'd like to invite you to our church. No. Then Faith come up there. Can you come to my church? Oh, yes. You're like, I'll come. Hey, wait a minute. I asked you too. Yeah, but you look mean. She looks nice. So children may have an effect that you don't have. Amen. So it matters not the child. By the way, you can get a child to go sell something for you. People feel sorry for little kids. Will you buy my popcorn, please?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want any popcorn, but here's $20. I go up there. Can you buy my popcorn, please? No. Go back up there, little kid, and sell that popcorn. Amen. So age really doesn't matter. The plan God has set. And so that's what we're looking at. And we looked at what makes you a good witness? What makes you a good witness? And we began briefly looking at a biblical testimony makes you a good witness. What does that mean? I can point you to the Bible and show you how I got saved. An unbiblical witness is going to be bad. Remember the witness that I left off with? I said it was unbiblical. Takesha, what was that witness that I left at the chair? Yes. And he told me, I said, well, how did you get saved? He said, well, I was in the barber chair. They were giving me a shave. They put the little towel over my head. And when they took the towel off, I knew I was saved. I said, can I get saved that same way? Well, no, God was just special, showed himself to me. Well, if the plan of salvation is to be simple, I don't think everybody can go into a barber shop and, you know, put the thing over. Yeah. Something's wrong with that testimony. What's wrong with that testimony? Had nothing to do with Jesus. If everybody got saved that way, everybody would still be lost. Say, preacher, was he lost? I can't speak for him. But I can tell you this. I couldn't get saved off of that.
Amen.
Now G2 and Joshua go to the barbershop all the time. Maybe they can get saved that way. You know, they go in the barbershop. They sit down in the chair. He puts the little thing on there, and they get their hair cut, and then they come out, and I'm saved. That how y'all got saved? No, y'all didn't get saved that way. Terrell, I know you got saved that way, right? You went to the barbershop and got your hair cut. I know Mr. Littrell Jr. That's where you got saved, right? Brother Hall took you in the back and you came out saved, right?
Yeah.
He laughing back there. So if you can't get that saved that way, ladies can get saved that way, right, Miss Duffy? No? What's wrong with that testimony? Got nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with Jesus. So what makes you a good witness? A biblical testimony makes you a good testimony. Go over to Acts chapter 21. And we left off with this last time. Acts chapter 21. If I'm going to be a good witness, then I need to share what happened to me. Acts chapter 21. And I think, didn't we look at that last time? Let's go down there. And where are we at here? Let's go to chapter 22. This is the Apostle Paul. 22. And I think we looked at this last time. And Paul here is about to give a testimony for himself. Men, brethren, fathers, verse 1. Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel is a leader or a teacher of the Jews. Now, what did Paul just do right there as he's talking to some Jewish people? What did he just do? He let them know he's a Jew. Okay? He's identifying with who he's talking to. If you and I are going to be a good witness, you've got to identify with who you're talking to. Okay? You got to identify with him. He says, I'm verily a man which is a Jew. He said, I was born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia. He said, yet brought up in this city, which is Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel. And who was Gamaliel? Taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God. And notice what his last phrase is, as ye all are this day. You know what Paul's saying? I'm just like you. Mm-hmm. I'm just like you. So whether you're a teenager, you can say, hey, look, I'm a teen just like you. I think like you. I'm like you. I act like you. Now, you may not act like them in all ways, but what do you have in common? They're a teen, and also what are they? People, yes, but what else are they? Sinners.
Sinners.
I'm a teenager, you're a teenager. I'm a person, you're a person. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. So if you go pointing and saying you're a sinner, how does that make that person feel? Want to go away. But if you say, you know, I'm just like you, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And then you say, you know what? I'm sure you've done some things too, which are sinful. Yeah. That makes a whole difference, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because now all of a sudden, you're on equal footing. But if you come from this position, thou unholy, unrighteous sinner, thou stinketh before God. Thou art no good, thou wicked. And now, are all those things true? Could be. I don't know. But how do they feel? They feel like Moses is talking to me. And he's got the Ten Commandments in his hand, ready to throw them at me. Nobody wants to hear that. I mean, I'm sure everybody saw Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. I mean, that was not pretty. But if you talk to somebody like that, that's what's going to happen. Paul says, I identify with you. Verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way, unto the death, binding, and delivering unto prisons of both men and women. Is also the high priest doth bear me witness. He said, the high priest has my back that I was going to persecute people the same way you are trying to persecute me now. He says, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He said, I went to Damascus and my whole intent had these letters, and my letters were to get anyone that believed on Jesus Christ, bring them to Jerusalem, let them stand trial, which they're guilty already before they stand trial, and we're going to lock them up. He says, verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come down to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It was at that precise moment that Paul recognized that the Jesus of the New Testament that he was trying to persecute in the Christians was the Jehovah of the Old Testament that he was zealously trying to serve. And he reconciled Jesus of the New Testament with Jehovah of the Old Testament, said they're one and the same. And I'm actually persecuting Jesus whilst I'm persecuting those that are believing in him. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is Jesus. They're the same ones. And he's like, what am I doing? And conviction hit him. And because he was trying to serve Jehovah the wrong way, he went the right way. And he received Christ. He says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Showing you now that he is in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to do what Jehovah wants him to do now. He said, what do you want me to do? He says, you need to go get baptized, and it's going to be told the rest of what you need to do. And of course, he goes and he does that. So Paul is identifying with his audience, and he is letting them know, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what happened to me. By the way, your testimony should be able to lead someone to Christ just by what you say. Just by what you say. If you biblically got saved, your testimony should lead them to understand that according to God's law, they are a sinner. They're in trouble because of their sin, but God loved them so much that he gave Jesus Christ to save them from their sin, and they could go to heaven. Your testimony should involve that. And it may be a long testimony, maybe a short testimony, but it should involve those things. So what makes you a good witness? You have to have a biblical testimony, not an unbiblical testimony. Amen. Some folks say, I'm saved because I gave tithes, or because I'm better than so-and-so, or because I go to church, or I keep the Ten Commandments. Amen. And this, I like to do this too. If someone says, because I keep the Ten Commandments, don't y'all try this. Don't try this. I'll say, really? I say, you know, I was too. I say, what are the first five? And thou shalt not go across the street, and thou shalt read the Bible, and thou shalt obey thy parents. You think you're lost already, amen? Now, I say that jokingly because I know them in order. But if someone is trying to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments and they don't know them, are they in trouble? Yeah, they are.
They are, Pastor.
If I don't know what they are, how can I keep them? How can I get to heaven? Jesus Christ kept all Ten Commandments. That's why when you have Christ, you have the commandments. Amen. It's just as easy as that. Amen. So then we've got to have a biblical testimony. Amen. By the way, if I can't explain how I got saved and I just feel like I'm saved, you might be lost.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen, Pastor.
If I can't explain to you how I got saved, the moment I got saved, it's not a gradual process. Well, you know, the first day I got halfway saved. Then the second day, I got 3/4 of the way saved.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and then 3 weeks later, I got all the way saved.
Oh, my soul. What?
Yeah, it takes time. That's like a mom saying, well, on the first day, the baby halfway came out. Then 3 days later, 3/4 of the baby came out. You know, and then 4 weeks later, the rest of the baby came out. And man, they're born. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I'm either all born or I'm not born. Somebody say amen. Come on now. And when you talk to people, you're going to hear all sorts of stories like that. Well, I'm almost saved. Almost saved then means you're lost. What did the guy say? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? So then be what hinders your witness. Be what hinders your witness. And that's why we had Philippians 2:15. What hinders your witness? Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you is going to improve your witness. Show you a verse of scripture here. Go to Romans chapter 12. What hinders your witness? We know what makes you a good witness. That's having a biblical testimony, being able to tell someone how you got saved. But Romans 12, what hinders your witness? As God works in your life and my life, it allows us to be a better testimony. Verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God says, now, to allow me to change your life, you've got to present yourself. Present your bodies. What kind of sacrifice?
Living.
What type of a sacrifice is normally acceptable to God? In Old Testament times, what kind of sacrifice? Dead. They bought the animal there. They slit the throat. They drained the blood, made sure it was done properly. And then they put the animal on the altar. But God says, now, I want you to be a living sacrifice. In other words, I want you to be a willing sacrifice to do what I want you to do. I don't want you to do what you want to do. I want you to do what I want you to do. Are we ready to be that? That's going to make a good testimony. He says, a living sacrifice, what kind? Holy, not unholy, acceptable unto God, which is your, what kind of service? Reasonable service. They said, that's just reasonable. By the way, when you go into a restaurant, what kind of service you want?
Good service.
You want good service. That's just what? Reasonable.
Yes, sir.
Why? I'm paying for the meal. Mm-hmm. And if I'm paying for the meal or I'm paying for the product, I want it to be reasonable. How many of y'all go into the store and you want to get a half-drank can of soda?
No way.
They say, oh, here's your soda, Mr. Keisha. That'll be $2. You say, but it's half drank. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. I mean, y'all saw those commercials. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Somebody else's lips has been on this. I don't want that. It could be backwashing that. Backwash Betty could have drank out of that. Amen. I don't want that. But he says, it's a reasonable service. But then notice this. And be not what? Conform to this world. Or don't let the world mold you from the outside, but be ye what? Transformed. He says transformed is changed from the inside out so that others can see it. Just like the cocoon. How many of y'all did the cocoons in class? Amen. The cocoon, you put it in the jar and then you wash it all quarter long. Finally, it breaks out and all that. That's called metamorphosis. That's what he's talking about. Let God who is in you work out of you so that others can see it. Conform means like Jell-O. How many of y'all have Jell-O? Jell-O molds at home? And you've got all these different designs that a Jell-O mold can be. You pour the Jell-O in there, you let it get cold, and you turn it upside down, and it looks like this. That's being conformed. I have made this to be conformed or fashioned the way I want it to look. That's what the world does to you and I. It wants you to look like them. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Let God change you from in and let it come out. Be transformed. How's it going to happen? By the renewing of your mind. What is the goal? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, basically, I want you to do my will. But to do that, you've got to let me work in you and you got to let people see it out of you. So when you look at this, what hinders your witness? When we let God to transform our lives, it will definitely improve our witness. But if we don't, it will hinder our witness. By the way, the first day I got saved, I went and called people, told them I got saved. The next day I went to work. And I was in a conversation with somebody after telling them that I had gotten saved. And I let profanity slip out of my lips. And I cursed as I was talking with them. What do you think I said right after that?
Oops.
Goodbye. I didn't say goodbye. I said, forgive me.
Forgive me.
And you know what they said? They said, why? I said, because I'm saved now. I said, I shouldn't talk like that. They said, what? I said, I got saved yesterday, man. I said, Jesus Christ is in my heart. I shouldn't talk like that. I said, God just really broke my heart over that. And they looked at me like, you're strange. Now, Friday, you curse like a sailor.
Yes.
And now, Monday, you come back, you say, forgive me. Now, what'd you say happened to you again? I got saved yesterday.
That's great.
And getting saved, do that? I said, did it for me. What happened? Because now God was working in me and started to show where? Out of
outward.
Me. What sort of things that a Christian can do will hinder his or her witness besides language? Ms. Duffy? Smoking or drinking. Is smoking or drinking going to send you to hell? But will it help your witness? No. What else is going to hinder my witness? By the way, whether you know this or not, people have an idea of what Christians should and shouldn't do. Yeah? Where you dress?
There you go.
My approach.
Yep.
My actions.
Yep.
All that stuff can hinder my witness. Now, by the way, if I'm a young man and I look like a criminal that just broke out of prison and I'm going to go and give somebody the gospel, they're probably going to be holding their wallets. If I'm a young lady and I've got my dress up to here and it's so tight that I can only walk like this, and then I'm showing everything that I got up here, and I'm saying, "Well, you come to my church," they're going to say, I'll go wherever you go. And they're really not looking at the Christ in you. They're looking at what you're advertising. So how I dress, so what I say, what I do, my actions right off the bat told people that something had happened to me. Just because my language had changed. And so those things can affect the way my witness is. Amen. And by the way, when you look at this area of scripture, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And notice how the Bible says we ought to behave ourselves amongst unsaved people to improve our witness as opposed to hinder our witness. Notice verse number 12, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, what does he say? Work out your own salvation. Does that mean try to get yourself saved? No. Did you get yourself saved in the first place? No. He says, work out your own salvation. What does he mean by work out your own salvation? Huh? Well, no, I'm already saved, but I need to work it out.
How to treat
others, amen. Let's give you, how many of y'all exercise?
Oh, yeah.
When you go to exercise, it's called a what?
Workout.
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 So where do you go? Oh, you go jogging, you know, you do all. What's the goal? To get in shape, to get some muscle, to get some aerobic going, to get some cardio going, to improve what's there. In other words, to work what's in so that it is coming out and people can see the results of it. Now, if I'm this way and I'm this way, you can probably assume that I probably haven't worked out. It's still in there. Amen. And you can see that it's still in there. So what do I got to do? I got to work it out. I mean, I got to work it off too. Amen. And so basically he's saying God, when you got saved, came in. And now you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All right. And verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you what? Both. So there's two things that's going to happen here. Both to will. What is that? Will. How many of y'all have willpower during Thanksgiving not to eat, overeat?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Both to will and then to do of his good pleasure. In other words, he wants you to do it. And then he wants you to do it. He wants you to want to do it, and he wants you to do it. Y'all got that? To will. I've got to want to. But then, if I want to go on a diet, does that mean I'm on a diet? Amen. To will says, I want to go on a diet. To will says, I want to do what God wants me to do. Now, what's the other side of the coin? Now, I got to come over and say, I will not eat chocolate candy over Christmas. Joshua, get away from me. I will not eat chocolate chip cookies. Gregory, get away from me. I said I will. I want to do it. Now I'm going to do it. So y'all have got to get away from me with those sweets. To will and then to do. So if I'm a Christian, being a good witness, then I've got to let God work in me, and then I've got to let God work out of me. I've got to want to do what he wants me to do, and then I've got to do it. And it starts with verse 14. Children, what? Read that, children. Do what? Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Take out the trash. Yes, Dad.
Yes.
Wash the dishes. Yes, Dad.
Yes, Dad.
Clean the toilet. Yes, Dad. And instead, take out the trash. Well, I got to do it. Why couldn't I do it? Clean up your room. Well, we cleaned it up last year.
How do you go, Pastor?
Last year?
Yes, sir.
Put some clothes in the washer. Well, put clothes in the washer last time. Why can't somebody else do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. What is that going to show? That God is working in me and he's working out me, his will, and I'm going to do his good pleasure. And so I'm going to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Verse 15 was our memory verse. That ye may be what? Blameless and harmless. If nobody can lay something to my blame, if I'm not harming anyone, guess what? They are more willingly going to accept what I say. But they say, Sergeant Dawson, you were the one that stole my cookies last week. No, I'm not blameless. I'm full of blame. Now I say, Sergeant Dawson, you're the one that punched me in the nose last week. No, I'm not harmless. I'm harmful. And so are they going to want to hear my testimony now because I stole their cookies and punched them in the nose? No. So he says down there that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without what? Rebuke. There's nothing anyone can lay against me in the midst of what kind of a nation? Crooked and perverse nation. The idea of crooked and perverse means it's going this way and that way. This is the way the course of life should go for God's people. But he says the world is going crooked. They're going this way and they're going this way. Crooked and perverse. They're not going straight. So if this is the will of God, straight down this way, and if the world is going this way, what can I say? They're out of what? Out of the will of God. Now, if I go that way too, what am I? Crooked and perverse. I'm out of the will too. So can I really tell them what God has to say? I can, but they're not going to believe me. They're going to say, well, what you doing over here with us then? We're the crooked and the perverse nation, but you're supposed to be the righteous one over there. So where are you at? You're supposed to be in church on Sunday. What you doing here with us? You're supposed to be at Bible study on Wednesday. What you doing over here with us?
Amen, Pastor.
I'm just saying. The world knows what Christians are supposed to do. They're no dummies. Before I got saved, I knew what Christians were supposed to do. Amen, Latrell? Before we got saved, we know what Christians aren't supposed to smoke. They're not supposed to drink. They're not supposed to do all these things. They're not supposed to do all the things that I'm doing. That's why I'm not going to be a Christian, because I'm doing those things. And I have no intention on giving those things up. Okay, when I get a knock on the door, that's when I'm going to give them up. Amen? And so most of you know my testimony. I said I'll get saved when I'm 86. Why 86? I figured I'd be too old to do all that stuff. And so at 86, I stop all that stuff, then I get saved. How many are guaranteed to make it to 86? But that was my claim to fame. When I get 86, I'm going to get saved. I'll stop drinking. I'll stop smoking. I'll stop cursing. I'll stop all of that when I get 86. Guess when I got saved? 27. So much for 86, huh? Say, preacher, why'd you get saved? Hell. Hell will make you get saved. Hell will make you get saved. I didn't want to go to hell. Papa didn't raise no food. And I said, 86, see ya. I might not make it. Now, by the way, why did I think I might not make it to 86? Well, not promised, but there was also something personal about me that I said, I'm not going to make 86. I was drinking and driving. I was doing drugs. And I crashed into a house, ran right through the front door. And I said, I'm not going to make it to be 86. If I keep going the way I'm going, I am not going to make it. And I said, if I don't make it, if I don't kill myself that way, Saddam Hussein was on the rampage at that time, and they were talking about sending people to Kuwait, and my name might have likely come up. And I said, if I go over there and get shot by a missile, I'm going to be dead on the field. I'm going straight to hell. And I reasoned that in my head, and I thought, I'm not ready to go to hell. There's only one alternative. Either I'm going to make it to 86 and stop all this foolishness and get saved, or I'm going to get saved right now. And by the way, I had a boss. If that didn't kill me, she was going to kill me. She was just that bad. She was going to kill me. Amen. And so he says down there, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye what? Shine as lights in the what? In the world. So what's going to hinder your witness doing all the things that are in this verse, the murmuring, the disputings, the being blameful, full of blame and full of harm, being with rebuke, being in the perverse and the crooked nation and going as they go and not shining the light. What should we be? Verse 16. Holding forth the word of what?
Life,
that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's going to be your memory verse. It's going to go right along with 15, 16. So in other words, we should be living in such a way that we can hold out this book to people and say, would you receive this? And they will respect what we say because of our life. Does that mean we're perfect? No. But it does mean when we make a mistake, we have the guts to say, forgive me, I shouldn't have did that. Forgive me, I shouldn't have did this. Folks, I had to go back and apologize to a lot of people, that I had crossed, that I had deceived, that I had done some things underhandedly towards them. And I had to go back to them and say, you know what, please forgive me for this, that, and the other. And they say, why? I say, you know, I'm saved and I can't live with what I did to you. I can't live with it. I wasn't right. I said, but now God saved me. And guess what that did? It opened the door of witness. Why? Before that, I had a hindered witness. So B, what hinders your witness? Not allowing Christ to work in your life, according to Romans 12. And also according to Philippians 2, 15 and 16, is going to hinder your witness and my witness when we don't let Jesus Christ work in our life. If we're saved, we should be different from everybody else in the world. We shouldn't be like the crooked and the perverse nation. We shouldn't do things with murmuring and disputing. And if we do, we should ask for forgiveness, both to God and to the person that asked us to do it, especially if it's an authority, especially if it's our boss, especially if it's someone that is in a position over us, because the last thing we need is to complain towards them. Of young people, maybe your teacher, maybe your football coach, your basketball coach, your track coach. It may be another teacher in your science class or your history class. It could be your parents.
Yes, sir.
It could be another authority. But guess what? We should not let anything hinder our witness. Why? Our job is to hold forth the word of God that people can get saved. So, folks, as we look at this, Roman numeral 2, the plan that God has set, what makes you a good witness, what hinders your witness, and that is how we handle our testimony and how we handle ourselves with the word of God. Amen. Philippians 2, 16 is going to be a memory verse for next week. Amen. And then we'll finish out Roman numeral 3 next week before we go into the next lesson. Amen. All right, Philippians 2, 16. Refreshments are next door, and we're going to trust God to work in our next hour. Father, thank you once again that, Lord, when it comes to the power to witness, you want to work in our lives. You want to work through us. And Lord, it is you, God, that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help us, Lord, to do all things without murmuring and without disputing, Lord, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Lord, help us to do that which is right. Help us to be a good witness and let nothing hinder our witness. Bless the refreshments next door. Help us as we meditate on the memory verse for next week. And Lord, may you get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. If you just borrowed a student book and don't want to keep it, please return it. If you need to keep it, please keep it. It is up to you. Don't forget, get some tracts. Give out some tracts this week. Get some tracts this week.